The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis. Welcome to the social studio.
Hello, we're talking digital radio again today. The bids are in for the new national multiplex known as D2. And we asked Radio Today's digital correspondent, Stuart Clarkson, to read through them so that you don't have to.
So we got two bids, one from a company called Listen to Digital and one from a company called Sound Digital. Sound Digital is the one where everybody was expecting. It's made up of Arqiva, Bauer and UTV. They're proposing 15 stations, a mix of things, including, as you might expect, quite a few Bauer stations, quite a few UTV stations. And then we had this surprise bid that kind of took everybody unawares at the last minute from Listen to Digital. It's made up of Orion, mainly 45% Orion, 35% Babcock Communications, which is a company we don't know too much about, but they are still a very big player in the kind of distribution and transmission business, and then some smaller shareholders as well. And the interesting one with that is 18 stations, but quite a mix from Orion, from Folder, who are one of the shareholders, and independent stations who perhaps wouldn't ever really get a chance to get on national DAB platforms.
Now, when Ofcom announced that they were going to seek proposals for this second multiplex, they said, as they usually do, that they wanted to extend choice. Now, on a sort of very preliminary reading, you would say that Listen to Digital, on the face of it, seems to be offering a little more in terms of broadening, you know, listener choice. Is that how you'd read it?
Yeah, one of the things about Sound Digital is that they're proposing some of the services on their multiplex would move over from D1, where they are at the moment, onto D2. One of those being Planet Rock, another being Absolute 80s, also Premier Christian Radio. So what they say is they're going to tell Ofcom what they plan to do with those spaces on D1 in return, but if the formats are staying the same for D1, then you would expect similar kind of stations to replace them on D1, which isn't going to really broaden choice. Also on the Sound Digital bid, we've got three talk radio stations. So Talk Radio, Talk Sport 2, Talk Business. We've also got some stations that actually exist already and people can get them either on digital television or online, and also on some local multiplexes. So Kistery is one of those. Heat Radio is another. Sunrise Radio, which is on some local muxes. Jazz FM as well, which is on in London. So it's actually providing some services nationally in its proposals that actually exist on digital radio for some listeners already. Whereas if you look at the Listen to Digital lineup, if you've not seen it, they've got Gem, which is the Orion station from the Midlands that they're going to make a national station. Fun Kids, which yes is on in London but would take it national. There's also The Wireless from Age UK, Nation Radio from Town and Country, Sabras, Panjab Radio, Share Radio, Premier Gospel, RTE Radio 1 from Ireland, which is quite interesting, as well as Gadio, Chris Country, Country Music Station, and they propose a contemporary hits service from a provider as yet unnamed, a food station and a jazz station.
Okay, so let's not get too technical about this, but how many people are going to be able to receive it?
So D1 at the moment gets to over 90% of the UK population. They recently switched on in Northern Ireland as well over the last year or two, which extended that reach. The proposals from these two bidders are a little bit lower, and there are a couple of reasons for that, which they say in the applications. Listen to Digital, going to use 42 transmitters. They say they'll get 81% indoor coverage of the adult population of the country. Outdoor rises to about 89%. For Sound Digital, similar numbers. They say 73% of UK households, 63% of major roads, but they will increase that over time. Now, the reason for that is that they say actually they've done a fine balance between getting to more people and making the service affordable. So if the reach is lower, you can charge less than you would for D1 for capacity on it, which is going to encourage more stations to come on it and also to stay for the longer term and be a more viable business option. And Arqiva's bid, the Sound Digital one, actually done some projections on the costs for startup digital national radio stations and how the transmission costs will be as a percentage of that over time.
And is it likely that Arqiva can argue, well, we don't need to build any transmitters because we've already got some, you know, we've got the masts, we've got the towers, whereas Babcock have got to start from scratch?
To some extent, but I think Babcock have got a lot of towers. They do a lot of other types of transmission, power grids and all sorts of other things. They do communications for the army and those kind of things that, while they're not necessarily at the moment a direct competitor with Arqiva for broadcast transmission in the UK, they've certainly got a vast experience. They're a multi-billion pound company. They do a lot of the BBC World Service transmission abroad. They know what they're doing. And, you know, from Ofcom's point of view, if they're looking at whether the transmission network is going to be reliable, I think both bids provide some assurance that actually they can make it work.
So lots more bandwidth. That's going to mean lots more high quality transmission, isn't it? Lots of stereo, Stuart.
Well, you'd have thought.
Let me guess. Lots of nice thin mono instead.
Well, I'm no expert on the subject. Rupert Brun is, of course. He was on the Radio Today programme a few weeks ago. If you haven't listened to that podcast, it was one of my favourites that you've done, actually, Trevor.
Thank you.
So I would definitely go back and listen to that, anybody who didn't hear it. And he goes into quite some detail about bit rates and sound quality and what they mean. So the BBC National DAB Multiplex has 10 stations on it. About five and a half of those are stereo. The remainder are mono. It's generally the music services that are stereo and the speech services that are mono. And that's what D1 used to be like as well. We used to have some nice stereo music stations and some mono speech stations. But as the demand for choice has kind of taken over the demand for quality, we've seen there be more services. So I think there are 14 on D1 at the moment. On these proposals, the Sound Digital bid would put 15 all mono stations, one of them a DAB Plus station, which some people might not be able to get. And the Listen to Digital bid would have 18 stations, four of them DAB Plus, which would be stereo, but the remaining 12 stations would be mono. Now, there's a couple of reasons for this. And I think, firstly, it's down to what Ofcom wanted. You mentioned there, when Ofcom was advertising this, they set out that choice was a big driver. And I think both applications have said, right, well, Ofcom want choice, let's give them choice, let's give them 15, 18 stations. So partly you've got to blame Ofcom and the government for this, because they've said, we want lots more stations, please. If you want lots more, then you sacrifice the quality. And I think, secondly, it's down to money. It's commercial radio multiplex, the service operators are there to pay license holders for space, and that space gets charged based on the bit rate they take. If you have 7 stereo services, they're going to cost twice as much as per station for the stations who want to go on them than 14, 15 mono services. So it's easier to sell more at a cheaper cost than it is to sell fewer at high cost. It's the Tesco argument in some respects, I guess. So
would it be fair to characterise these two bids as the usual suspects versus the outliers?
Yeah, that's one way that people have looked at it. And if Ofcom go for the Sound Digital bid, they will get the usual suspects. They'll get Talk, they'll get Kistory, they'll get Mellow Magic, they'll get Heat, Planet Rock, Absolute 80s, and they'll get operators they're used to working with from Arqiva's point of view, from Bauer, from UTV as well. So it's a safe option. It's the kind of do what you always do, you get what you'll always get idea. But I think with Listen to Digital, there's a bit more uncertainty. These people have not necessarily got a lot of experience of running multiplexes. They have got a lot of experience of running radio stations. So that's what the Ofcom have really got to decide. I mean, Listen to Digital point out that Arqiva, Bauer and UTV, between them, control the existing national multiplex and 80% of the local multiplexes that exist. Some of the other local multiplexes controlled by Muxco, which is made up of Folder, which is a bidder as part of the Listen to Digital. So a lot of the focus in the Orion bid, the Listen to Digital bid, is about we need to break this monopoly that's currently held by Arqiva and Bauer and UTV and the big groups.
But I guess Ofcom might be slightly worried that they don't want to repeat the issues they had with Channel 4.
Yeah, Channel 4 was a bit different. I think looking back at that bid, as I did recently, you can see in the bid document the dominance of Channel 4 over the other players. Now, UTV and EMAP, which was obviously the forerunners of Bauer, were both minor shareholders in that 4 Digital bid. I think they had about 10% each, but Channel 4 was overwhelmingly the main shareholder, the main controller. So when they decided they didn't want to do it, it was dead. With these bids, there's specific stuff in them about the binding nature of what they've agreed. And I think certainly I've seen in the Sound Digital one, they make reference to what happened with 4 Digital and say, we've got a contract in place. That means none of these main partners can pull out and they're liable for the costs over the 12 years to run the multiplex.
So, Stuart, how do you think the BBC is going to be reacting to this? Because on the face of it, neither of these seem to be offering a huge potential competitor to Radio 2, Radio 4. It's a lot of extending choices, we've been saying, but they're all rather bitty and, if you like, marginal.
Yeah, but I think this comes back down to a regulatory point that actually we should have looked at the bigger picture before this application process started. Do we as an industry want 30, 35 national radio stations across D1 and D2, all in mono, mainly in mono, and most of them quite niche in what they do: a country station, a jazz station, a food station, a finance station, a sports talk station. They're all doing particular things, which is great, and people have said in the research that they want those things, that yes, I would listen to one of those stations. But actually, would it have been better to say, right, we've got D2, we create more capacity, let's move some stations around, let's create a few more stations, they'll be in far better quality to match what Radio 2 and Radio 1 and 1Xtra and 6 Music do with their stereo services on the multiplexes that we're getting, and actually put the content into individual services. So Radio 2, at the moment, does food on drive time, it does business news, it does jazz, it does news talk at lunchtime, it does folk, blues, comedy, 60s music, 70s, 80s, musicals. It does all those things, but it does it all on one station. Now, we're going to end up with commercial radio having a different station for each of those different things, and commercial radio won't compete if it keeps spreading itself so thinly. That's my view anyway. 4Digital would have had 10 stations when that would have launched, mix of stereo and mono, and actually some of the services it was offering would have perhaps been a better rival to what the BBC does. It will be interesting to see, though, and I think 5Live's another one to watch. If the Sound Digital bid is successful, you're going to have Talk Sport 2, Talk Radio, Talk Business. How will 5Live compete with that? What will it do with its digital services to step up the game a bit?
So if I was running down the betting shop with my fiver, who should I put it on, Stuart?
Well, if I were a betting man, I'd probably put my fiver on Bradford City winning the FA Cup instead. Well, you know, it's one of those. It's six of one and a half a dozen of the other. It's a really difficult job for Ofcom, I think. Sound Digital give them the assurances of financial viability. They've got a track record. But it looks a bit samey. It looks just like D1 looks to some extent. Yeah, there are a few extra stations on there. Yes, it is going to provide a bit of extra choice. But it does look safe and familiar. I think the monopoly breaking adventurous bid for me offers a bit more listener choice, and it offers a bit more creativity in the marketplace, which the other one doesn't. But you know, which way is Ofcom going to go? Who knows? I mean, they've surprised us on things before, so whichever way you fall, they could surprise you on the decision that they end up making.
Well, thank you very much, Stuart. We shall doubtless talk about digital radio again next week, because there's this big event on Friday this week, Drive to Digital, which may, of course, be merely a repetition of the event that was held in London just before Christmas, but we'll have to see. Anyway, digital radio is back in the news. Keep up to date with all the developments at Radio Today. co.uk. Let's have some news now from Roy.
The Radio Today programme with Broadcast Bionics.
City Beat Belfast has been sold to the Q Radio Network, which, if you didn't know, operates 6 radio stations in Northern Ireland. Details of the sale by CN Group don't reveal details of the costs involved or how many redundancies there are, but you can find out more on the website. And you'll also see details of Rajar. Rajar is out. By the time you listen to this, we'll know who's done what and where. And you can find out more at radiotoday.co.uk/Rajar, as ever. That's the very latest from Radio Today. I'm Roy Martin.
Broadcast Bionics, creators of Phonebox and Oasis, offer you elegantly integrated products and intelligent one-stop shopping for all your studio needs. Discover a full range of innovative studio products. Play out by Wide Orbit, Music Master Scheduling, Stirlitz, Newsboss, Larvo, Telos, Axia, Omnia, Digigram and Commotion. Visit bionics.co.uk today.
Let's have some radio moments now from David Lloyd.
So, we begin this week 47 years ago, and BBC Local Radio came to Nottingham.
And now, the first edition of Nottingham Newsreel. And first, the local news read by Tony Church. A Nottinghamshire power giant gets underway. The £80 million
station... It was a joyful feeling at first. We didn't altogether realise the problems that were going to hit us when we came to actual operational terms.
Station manager Gerald Nethercott speaking at the start of Radio Nottingham this week in 1968. It was the 6th BBC local to come on air. This week, just last year, it was farewell to sports commentator David Oates.
It's a very, very sad and emotional day for us all in BBC Radio Sport, because earlier this afternoon we received the terrible news of the death of our colleague and our friend David Oates, well known to you, the listener, as a regular commentator and reporter for the BBC, especially on football and rugby league.
Ball had gone out of play, noticed a Bolton player lying injured, he was midway inside his own half, soon became apparent that it was Fabrice Muamba. But there hadn't been contact or any foul at all. The players and Howard Webb quickly realised, I think, the
Goodbye, David Oates, highly regarded football commentator on Five Live, who began at BBC Manchester. Happy birthday this week to a radio stalwart.
Doris Day. Comes from Doris Day's Senate Mental Journey, which I think is a misprint. I'm beginning to see the light. 8:22. Now, who's this? Wrong. It's not the Furies and Davy Arthur. It's not Foster and Allen. Not Brendan Shine or anybody like that. It's Jim Davidson. Yes, old Nick Nick himself.
Two whiskey.
You're yourself on radio. I think you're much more yourself on radio than you can be on television, because there's so much gubbins in the way on television. Whereas on radio, you can actually have a miserable look on your face, and you can actually sound a bit miserable as well, because you're behaving naturally. You're responding naturally to the sequence of events. And that's, I think, what people react to in radio. That's why people like radio, and that's why it has survived.
Ken Bruce heard there on the Radio 2 breakfast show, where he stayed a year. He was clearly enjoying the station's music policy of the day back then. He's also hosted Radio 2 Ballroom, Saturday Lates, and, of course, Mid-Morning since 1992. Happy birthday, Ken. This week, 13 years ago, the shipping forecast changed. And so, for the last time, we heard this.
Finisterre, southwesterly, 6 to gale 8. Occasional rain.
Yes, mention of the shipping area Finisterre. It was last called that this week in 2002. After 53 years, it had been named Fitzroy, but they changed it to avoid confusion with the French and Spanish Finisterre.
This network will be back at 5 to 6 with the next shipping forecast.
26 years ago this week, Transworld, the Miss World radio group which started from Red Rose Radio, announced its bid for Piccadilly Radio in Manchester, and that bid was conditional upon its rejection by Piccadilly shareholders of the Midlands radio group BRMB in Trent and Leicester Sound.
World Offer won the support of 89% of shareholders at a meeting this morning. The group, headed by the Lancashire businessman Owen Oyston, already owns Red Rose Radio in Preston. Mr. Oyston said afterwards that the coming together of the two stations was a very exciting development.
This week in 1924, the first pips were broadcast. It was an idea from good old John Reith, so the Astronomer Royal Sir Frank Watson Dyson sorted out some mechanical clocks, originally in the Royal Greenwich Observatory, but it wasn't always to be thus.
The problem is money. We are going to get some new clocks at the Royal Observatory. It'll cost many hundreds of thousands of pounds, not just the cost of the clocks, but also the cost of running them every year. And I don't think that money can be found. There's some debate about this. And what would happen then is that we'd have to find the time signal from another source. We may even resort to generating it ourselves. I'm not sure of the technical details of this, but what would happen is the BBC would generate its own time signal and ask the Royal Observatory to monitor it from time to time just to make sure it's accurate. So in that case, we would be justified in still calling it Greenwich Mean Time. I hope that happens. That would be rather nice.
And so it came to be, too. The pips now come from the bowels of Broadcasting House. Andrew Piper from the BBC World Service on the pips. This week, 66 years ago, a famous series of macabre stories began, fondly remembered by that generation.
This is your narrator, the man in black, again about to introduce tonight's Columbia program, Suspense. The story is The Pit and the Pendulum by Edgar Allan Poe.
The Man in Black, introduced and told by Valentine Dial, first heard this week in 1949, and in that same week, a book at bedtime began as Late Night Serial on the BBC Home Service, and of course, it's still read to this day. This week, 11 years ago, audience figures suggested that commercial radio's share of total listening grew above 40% for the first time, and 2.2 million people had switched off from Radio 1. It was to be the station's last audience figures before this.
The saviour is here.
The saviour is here.
The Chris Marshall. 7:13 in the morning.
Hello, how are you? This is Justin Timberlake, Rock Your Body.
One station which also grew larger this week, 26 years ago, was Southern Sound.
Hello, good morning, this is Cliff Richard. It's 10 o'clock, it's Sunday, February the 5th, 1989, and I'm very pleased to welcome you to your new radio station. This is Southern Sound FM, classic hits across Sussex.
And from all of us here in Eastbourne, a very warm welcome to Southern Sound FM.
Southern Sound extending this week in 89, having started in Brighton, then growing further afield, and then graduating to East Sussex this week 26 years ago. Now, of course, Southern is part of Hart, Sussex and Surrey. So with the first phone-in this week in 1968...
And the telephone is going again, so without further ado, I'll pick it up and see who's on the line this time. Hello.
Mansfield 103.2 launching 16 years ago.
It's a great day for Mansfield, Ashfield and Bolsover, the launch of your very first local radio station.
And the announcement this week last year that Communicore would acquire the assets Global Radio were selling. Those are this week's Radio Moments. Radio
Moments. Thank you, David and Roy and Stuart Clarkson. That was your Radio Today programme for this week, produced by TDC. Thanks for listening. We'll have something very similar next time.
The Radio Today programme with broadcast by Onyx.